Is the rapture before, during, or after the tribulation? One Greek word gave English the word rapture. What it means for the timeline is where faithful Christians split four ways. Let's examine it. The word rapture isn't even in your Bible. Here's a fact that surprises people. The English word rapture never actually appears in most English Bibles. It comes from Latin, not the original Greek, and tracing that path is the fastest way into this whole debate. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 16 to 17. Paul describes the Lord descending with a shout, the dead in Christ rising first, then those still alive being caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Greek, harpagesso metha. We will be caught up, seized, snatched away. From harpazo, a word used elsewhere for a wolf snatching a sheep or an official hauling someone off. It is forceful, sudden, decisive. When the Latin Vulgate translated harpagesso metha, it used the word rapimer, from the verb rapier, to seize. Rapier is where English gets the word rapture. So the rapture is really just the Latin-flavored name for this one Greek verb, being suddenly, forcefully caught up to meet the Lord. Every camp in this debate agrees that event happens. The disagreement is entirely about when, relative to a coming time of tribulation. The case for before. Revelation 3 verse 10. Jesus tells the church in Philadelphia that because they have kept his command to endure, he will also keep them from the hour of testing coming on the whole world. Pre-tribulationists read keep from as removal before the trial starts, not protection while inside it. They also point out that after Revelation 4 opens with John being caught up to heaven himself, the church isn't addressed again by name until chapter 19, when believers return with Christ, an argument from what's absent on the page as much as what's present. Add the doctrine of imminence, the idea that Christ could come at any moment with no prophesied event required first, and you have the pre-tribulational case, rapture first, a seven-year tribulation after, then Christ's visible return with the church at the very end. The case for during or after. Matthew 24 verses 29 to 31. Jesus says that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the Son of Man will appear, and he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from the four winds. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 1 to 3. Paul tells the Thessalonians not to be shaken into thinking the day of the Lord has come, because it cannot arrive until the rebellion and the man of lawlessness are revealed first. Post-tribulationists read Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians 4 as the very same event, described twice. Jesus comes once, visibly, after a real period of tribulation, and believers are gathered up to meet him and immediately return with him to earth. Mid-tribulationists and pre-wrath readers split the difference, placing believers through part of the tribulation, but removed before God's specific wrath falls late in the timeline, often leaning on 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, where Paul says God has not destined believers for wrath. Greek, apantasis, to meet. In everyday Greek, this word described a delegation going out of a city to meet an arriving dignitary, then escorting him back in. That word choice matters to post-tribulationists. In 1 Thessalonians 4, believers are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, using this same word elsewhere used for citizens going out to welcome someone home, not for being permanently taken away. They argue the natural picture is going out to meet Christ and coming right back with him to the earth he's returning to, not vanishing off it. The case that there's no separate future tribulation at all. John 16 verse 33. Jesus tells his disciples plainly that in this world they will have tribulation, present tense, ongoing, not a future seven-year event with a start date. Amillennial readers, historically the majority view for much of church history, read Revelation's imagery symbolically rather than as a literal future countdown. On this view, the tribulation is the whole church age's recurring suffering, not a discrete final chapter with its own calendar. There is one future coming of Christ, one resurrection, one gathering, not a two-stage rapture then return sequence. C. 400. Augustine's City of God cements a symbolic, amillennial reading as the dominant view in the Western Church for well over 1,000 years. 1830s, John Nelson Darby develops and popularizes the pre-tribulational rapture, teaching that later shapes much of American evangelicalism. 1909, the Scofield Reference Bible spreads pre-tribulationism widely, putting the framework directly into millions of readers' own study notes. So where do sincere Christians land and why? Pre-tribulational. The church is removed before a literal future tribulation begins, pointing to Revelation 3 verse 10 and the church's apparent absence from Revelation 4 through 19, consistent with the idea that Christ could return at any moment with no preceding sign required. Mid-tribulational or pre-wrath. Believers experience part of a future tribulation, but are removed before God's specific wrath is poured out near its end, holding 1 Thessalonians 5:9's promise together with the tribulation passages in Revelation. Post-tribulational. The church endures the whole tribulation and is caught up to meet Christ as he returns to earth, treating Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians 4 as the same single event rather than two separate ones. Amillennial. One future coming. There is no discrete future 7-year tribulation on the calendar at all. The church age itself is the tribulation John 16 verse 33 describes, and Christ's return, the resurrection, and the gathering of his people all happen at once at the end. Every camp here is reading Revelation, Matthew 24, and 1 Thessalonians 4 seriously. Nobody's ignoring a passage. They disagree on how highly symbolic apocalyptic literature and Paul's plain pastoral letters fit together on a single timeline, which is exactly why this remains one of the most argued questions in the Bible. What to do with this? This isn't a question you can out-Google. Read 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 together as one letter, then read all of Matthew 24, then Revelation 4 through 19 in one sitting if you can manage it. However the timeline actually unfolds, every camp here agrees on the ending. Jesus wins, and his people are with him. Argue the order gently, and hold on to that part with both hands. Examine for yourself. Prophecy is one of the areas where good, careful, Bible-loving Christians have disagreed for 2,000 years. Study it with humility, hold your conclusions with an open hand, and let this deepen your hope in Christ's return rather than your certainty about a chart.